And your next witness, Ms. Jacobson, please.
My next witness is Mr. Chris Miller, who's seated next to me.
Correct. And Mr. Miller, did you hear the admonition I gave earlier in regard to perjury?
Yes, I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Jacobson, please.
Please state your name, address, and occupation.
My name is Chris Miller. My business address is 1717 East Interstate Avenue, Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm employed by Basin Electric Power Cooperative as Senior Environmental Project Administrator. I am responsible for the preparation of environmental studies and permit application for various transmission and generation projects Basin Electric is currently planning.
Would you please state your educational background and professional experience?
I earned a Bachelor of Science degree from North Dakota State University, Fargo, North Dakota, in 1982 with a major in civil engineering. I've been employed with Basin Electric since 1991.
Mr. Miller, what have been your responsibilities in connection with the Williston Tie Project?
I am responsible for the overall preparation and coordination of the environmental analysis of this project within Basin Electric and through our consultant, HDR Engineering of Minneapolis, Minnesota. This involved working with an interdisciplinary consultant team, contacting and meeting with public officials, coordinating activities with other Basin Electric departments, and reviewing and coordinating the various reports that have been submitted to the Rural Utility Service, referred to as RUS, and Western Area Power Administration, referred to as Western, the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and other interested agencies.
What is the purpose of your testimony in this proceeding?
I will describe the methodology used to delineate the proposed corridor and route and to demonstrate, with respect to environmental considerations, that the proposed corridor and route are in accordance with the North Dakota Energy Conversion and Transmission Facility Siting Act and North Dakota Public Service Commission rules.
You mentioned Western. What is their involvement with the Williston Tie Project?
The Williston Tie Project is part of Montreal Williams Electric Cooperative's 16-mile-long Williston to State Line 115 kV transmission line project, referred to as the State Line Project. The State Line Project will interconnect the Western's Williston substation and terminate at the One Oak Gas Processing Plant. This interconnection is a federal action subject to National Environmental Policy Act, otherwise known as NEPA. Western is developing an environmental assessment, otherwise known as an EA, for the State Line Project. Western published the EA in the Federal Register in December of 2011. Public comment period closed January of 2012. Western is evaluating the comments received and will incorporate into their agency final action. A finding of no significant impact is expected very soon.
Is the NEPA process a separate process from the PSC siting process we are attending here today?
Yes, it is an independent and separate process by a federal agency.
Mr. Miller, what is the size of the corridor in this project?
The corridor is 3.7 miles in length, and the route and corridor widths are one and the same. The 345-115 kV portion of the project has a 150-foot wide corridor. The 230-115 segment has a 100-foot wide corridor. And the single circuit 230 kV segment has an 80-foot wide corridor.
And why is that?
Since the overall transmission line length in this case was very short, a corridor width equal to the route width was used for the project. Also, at the initiation of the PSC application process, a large percentage of the easements had been obtained for the project. With the tight occupancy of the surrounding lands in the project area, there was very little opportunity to vary the route within a wider corridor as one would normally expect in linear projects of this type.
Mr. Miller, I hand you this document, which the court reporter has marked as Exhibit 8, and ask you to please identify it.
It is Figure 4-1 of the siting application depicting land use.
Your Honor, I'd move for admission of Exhibit Number 8.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 8 is admitted.
Mr. Miller, can you please give us a general description of land use of both the corridor and the route?
As previously testified by Mr. Christensen, the corridor and route can be broken into three segments, A, B, and C. Segment A crosses lands that are 95% used for agricultural purposes. Segment B's land use is 85% agricultural. As the corridor and route near the Wilson substation, the available land that would be suitable for a transmission project dramatically diminishes to a point where there is but a single pathway available to enter the Wilson substation. This 370-foot wide pathway is also occupied by Western's two existing 115 kV transmission lines that are located within a 120-foot easement running east to west. Segment B's corridor occupies a southerly 100-foot of the 250-foot of area available through this area. This 370-foot area is bordered by businesses and residences. Segment C is industrial and roadway with 0% of the land in agricultural use.
Would you please describe the general philosophy and objectives used by Basin Electric in delineation of the proposed corridor and selection of the proposed route?
The process used by Basin Electric and its consultants in the analysis of the study area and eventual identification of the proposed corridor and route is based upon a deductive approach that is from the general to the specific. This approach entails starting with a broad study area within the confines of the relatively short project length, and then narrowing and refining it by incorporating data and other input gathered from landowners, public agencies, and environmental databases to the point where all defined corridors are identified in the study area. The ultimate goal of the corridor and route selection process was to locate a suitable line route between the two endpoints while adhering to the PSC's avoidance and exclusion criteria. For this project, the corridor selection process was specific to a line route. This was primarily due to the short corridor and route length, and one single landowner representing approximately 79% of the overall corridor and route length. This landowner's preference for the proposed route and corridor location strongly influenced the project's proposed route. Further restrictions were identified by the rapidly changing landscape in the immediate area of the Wilson substation due to commercial and industrial businesses development. Western and Montreal Williams evaluated three route alternatives and a no-action alternative in the EA.
Mr. Miller, I hand you this document, which the court reporter has marked as Exhibit 9, and ask you to identify it, please.
It is a map depicting the three route alternatives that Western and Montreal Williams evaluated as part of the Wilson State to State Line project. These alternatives were a major factor in the location of the project's proposed route.
Your Honor, I would move for admission of Exhibit 9 into evidence.
Any objection to Exhibit 9?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 9 is admitted.
Mr. Miller, please describe the alternative routes that were analyzed.
Route alternative A follows and parallels U.S. Highway 2 west upon leaving the Western substation and was dismissed from further consideration due to additional line length resulting in higher costs for the transmission line while providing no substantive benefit from an environmental or land use perspective over the proposed route. Route alternative A would have been located within 500 feet of over 20 residences, approximately 7 businesses, and near or over multiple communication towers as the land use became less commercial and more residential use. Further, it was not the preferred route by landowners, and thus they were unwilling to sign easements on a voluntary basis. Route alternative B would exit the Wilson substation and travel 6 miles north to 56th Street Northwest, and then turn west, terminating at Montreal Williams State Line substation. This alternative would be closer to known whooping crane sightings and is an area that was identified as a future growth area in the Wilson Comprehensive Plan as a mixture of industrial and commercial uses. Landowners were not supportive of this route when approached regarding possible easements. When route alternatives A and B were compared to the proposed route, that neither alternative A or B offered substantive environmental and or economic benefits that would warrant further, more detailed investigations. Thus, these alternatives were not carried forward for detailed analysis in the EA.
Mr. Miller, why was the proposed route chosen over the alternatives analyzed?
The final route alternative was chosen after careful analysis of the regional electrical system factors related to construction and operation requirements. This analysis was focused on a location that would meet the project's purpose and need, be consistent with planned and anticipated system needs, meet design and reliability standards, avoid and minimize impacts to environmentally sensitive resources, be reasonable, be technically feasible, and be economically viable.
Mr. Miller, were there engineering guidelines that were also considered in this process?
Yes. Areas that were considered less suitable for construction and operation of a transmission line included crossings involving other high voltage power lines, steep slopes which could pose maintenance and erosion problems, areas requiring unusually long spans, areas lacking reasonable access for construction and maintenance, areas of questionable foundation stability, and areas with existing infrastructure.
Who participated in the corridor and route selection process?
A multidisciplinary team of Basin Electric and Montreal Williams, including environmental, engineering, and lands and right-of-way personnel, worked together in the corridor and route selection process. In addition, consultants of Basin Electric, including staff from HDR Engineering of Minneapolis, Minnesota, played a major role in the corridor and route delineation process.
Mr. Miller, did Basin Electric incorporate public input in the corridor and route selection process?
Yes. The deductive approach employed starts with a broad study area, then narrowing it by incorporating various data and input from public agencies, representative officials, private industry, and the general public to a point where the corridor is identified within the study area. Public scoping meetings were held in July of 2011 in compliance with the scoping provisions of the NEPA implementation regulations. These meetings were conducted in Williston, North Dakota. The purpose of the meetings was to aid in the federal decision-making process and to assist in the formulation of issues to be addressed by Western's environmental assessment. The comments received during this meeting were also considered in the corridor and route selection process. The project's correspondence from officials and agencies contacted are presented in Appendix B of the application. In total, 45 agencies, organizations, or officials were contacted for early input for this project. 9 Native American tribes were also contacted to solicit their input on the project.
Mr. Miller, North Dakota Century Code 49-22-09 of the North Dakota Energy Conversion Transmission Facility Siting Act lists 11 factors to guide the Public Service Commission in evaluation of sites, corridors, and routes. I will now ask you a series of questions directed at these relevant factors. Did Basin Electric evaluate the impacts to public health and welfare, natural resources expected from the Williston Tie Project?
Yes. Basin Electric's application addressed these issues. Specifically, the construction and operation techniques were addressed in Chapter 3. Impacts to the environment and mitigation measures in relation to corridor and route were addressed in Chapter 4. The project will not have any significant impacts to public health and welfare, natural resources, and the environment.
Did Basin Electric evaluate technologies to minimize the adverse environmental impacts?
The project utilizes the most recent transmission technologies and systems that minimize impacts to the environment. Specifically, the incorporation of a single pole structures and double circuiting the 115 system with either a Basin Electric's 345 or 230 kV lines will minimize the impact to current land uses as well as minimizes the impacts to biological and cultural resources.
Were any unavoidable adverse environmental effects of the corridor and route evaluated?
Yes, and it was determined that the environmental effects of the corridor and routes were minor.
Did the project evaluate irreversible and irretrievable commitment of natural resources for the corridor and routes?
Yes, the irreversible and irretrievable resource commitments are related to the use of non-renewable resources and the effects that the use of these resources have on future generations. Irreversible effects primarily result from use or destruction of a specific resource that cannot be replaced within a reasonable time frame. Irretrievable resource commitments involve the loss in value of an affected resource that cannot be restored as a result of the action. There are few commitments and resources associated with this project that are irreversible and irretrievable. Those resources primarily related to construction, specifically aggregate resources, concrete, steel, and hydrocarbon fuel.
Did the project evaluate direct and indirect impacts?
Yes, the direct economic impacts included impacts associated with a small amount of agricultural land being removed from production due to the transmission line. In general, the agricultural areas surrounding each structure can still be farmed, and landowners will be compensated for the land occupied by the transmission line. The remaining direct and indirect economic impacts are primarily positive. Personal income will be generated for the residents of the county and the state by circulation and recirculation of the dollars paid out by Basin Electric as business expenditures and state and local taxes.
Mr. Miller, I show you what the court reporter has marked as Exhibit 10 and ask you to please identify it.
These are two maps showing the commercial development that has happened from 2009 to fall of 2011 around the Wilson substation.
Your Honor, I'd move for admission of Exhibit 10.
I'm sorry, which one was that again now?
It's the series of two maps with the blue border on the top. Yes.
And which one was 10?
It's one and the same. It's just a two-page exhibit.
Oh, I see. Okay. I wasn't paying attention right there. I was reading something else. I'm sorry. Did you mark those? Okay. Any objection to 10?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Exhibit 10 is admitted.
Mr. Miller, does the project impact existing development plans of the state, local government, and private entities at or in the vicinity of the corridor and route?
No conflicts with existing developmental plans were identified. Recent oil and gas development in the immediate area continues to expand. It is reasonably foreseeable that areas within the corridor and route will be considered for gas and oil development. The location of the corridor and route is not expected to inhibit the potential for future gas and oil development with the current methods currently employed in the oil and gas industry. The 2010 Wilson Comprehensive Plan identified small areas in the eastern terminus of the corridor as possible future industrial land use. The recent oil and gas activity associated with the development has caused rapid development of commercial and industrial properties surrounding the project. The double circuiting of the proposed state land project with the Wilson Tide Project helps to maximize the future development opportunities in the immediate area.
What are the effects on biological resources within the corridor and route?
Chapter 4 of the application discusses in great detail the potential impacts to biological resources such as wetlands, vegetation, wildlife, and rare and unique species. Basin Electric has implemented measures to avoid and minimize effects to biological resources. The impact of the project on biological resources is expected to be minimal. The project will be designed to minimize impacts to avian species.
Has the project addressed all issues raised by agencies?
The area in the vicinity of the project was viewed by state and federal agencies as part of the EA, the State Land Project. Agency comments varied accordingly to agency function and jurisdiction, but agency comments generally emphasize the desire to minimize impacts to environmental resources, which Basin Electric has done.
Mr. Miller, earlier you stated that a factor in selection of the proposed route is the PSC avoidance and exclusion criteria. Please describe what an exclusion criteria means.
The North Dakota Public Service Commission rules and North Dakota Administrative Code, Chapter 690601, states, exclusion criteria means criteria that remove areas from consideration for energy conversion facility sites and transmission facility routes.
Please describe what an avoidance criteria means.
The North Dakota Public Service Commission rules at North Dakota Administrative Code, Chapter 690601, states, avoidance criteria means criteria that remove areas from consideration for energy conversion facility sites and transmission facility routes unless it is shown that under the circumstances there are no reasonable alternatives.
Mr. Miller, do the Public Service Commission rules provide any further direction regarding exclusion and avoidance areas?
Yes. Section 49.22.05.05.1, Exclusion and Avoidance Areas Criteria of the Energy Conversion and Transmission Facility Siting Act, Chapter 49-22, provides the 500 feet for an inhabited rural residence may be waived by the owner of the inhabited rural residence in writing. Also, exclusion and avoidance areas may be located within a corridor, but at no given point shall such an area or areas encompass more than 50% of the corridor width, unless there are no reasonable alternative.
Mr. Miller, I'm going to ask you a series of questions regarding the PSC transmission facility corridor and route criteria exclusion areas. Does the proposed corridor and route contain any designated or registered national parks, memorial parks, historic sites and landmarks, natural landmarks, monuments, or wilderness areas?
No.
Any designated or registered state parks, historic sites, monuments, historic markers, archaeological sites, or nature preserves?
No.
Any county parks and recreation areas, municipal parks, or parks owned or administered by any other governmental subdivision?
No.
Any areas critical to the life stages of threatened or endangered animal and plant species?
No.
Are there any areas where animal or plant species that are unique or rare to the state would be irreversibly damaged?
No.
Mr. Miller, so at no point within the corridor and route does an exclusion area identified in Section 69-06-08-02-01 exist?
No, there are no exclusion areas found within the route or corridor.
Mr. Miller, at any given point within the corridor and route, does an avoidance area encompass more than 50% of the corridor width?
Yes.
And can you explain why that is?
Western's Wilson Substation is located in the southwest quarter of Section 19, Township 154 North, Range 101 West. The substation has been recently surrounded by the commercial industrial expansion associated with the Bakken oil development. There is currently but one open corridor that exists entering Western's substation, and that corridor opportunity lies directly to the west as shown in Exhibit 10. In Exhibit 10. As described earlier, there is approximately 250 feet available that is not either occupied by an existing transmission line or is developed as either a commercial property or residence. The entire 250 foot wide corridor is within any 500 foot extent from the existing residents and businesses in the area.
Mr. Miller, at any given point within the corridor and route, does an avoidance area as identified in Section 69-06-08-02-2 exist?
Yes, there are seven businesses and five inhabited rural residents within 500 feet of the corridor and route.
Mr. Miller, I hand you this exhibit, which the court reporter has marked as Exhibit 11, and ask you to identify it.
It is a map depicting the avoidance areas within the corridor and route, the seven businesses and five rural residences located within 500 feet of the proposed route.
And Mr. Miller, is this larger exhibit the same as this exhibit here?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, I move for admission of Exhibit number 11.
Is this figure 4-2?
Yes, Your Honor.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
11 is admitted.
Has the owner of these inhabited rural residents signed a waiver?
We have been unable to secure a waiver.
Could you please tell us a little more about these five residences and the area surrounding them?
The owner of all five residences is Patterson Services. It is a commercial business providing drilling services to oil and natural gas operators. The Patterson property consists of multiple buildings, one older farmhouse, as shown as the larger yellow dot in the blown-up section on Exhibit 11. The farmhouse is approximately 290 feet from the center line of the proposed route. The four mobile homes are also shown by the four smaller dots on Exhibit 11. The mobile homes are located approximately 160 feet from the center line of the proposed route.
Mr. Miller, I hand you this document, which the court reporter has marked as Exhibit 12, and ask you to identify it.
It is a photograph I took on February 22, 2012, showing the land owned by Patterson Services.
And are the four mobile homes and residents shown on the in this photo?
Yes, they are.
Your Honor, I'd move for admission of Exhibit Number 12.
Any objection to Exhibit 12?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 12 is admitted.
Mr. Miller, can you please describe what exists on the property with respect to the photograph?
The area around the farmhouse residence was formerly mainly agricultural, and with the recent commercial growth associated with the Bakken oil development, the land surrounding the original farm residence was purchased by Patterson Services in 2011. Patterson Services uses property as a commercial facility that maintains the farmhouse and mobile homes for housing for its employees. The entire area is surrounded by a chain link fence. It is my understanding this area is zoned commercial, but the Williams County Commission and Williams County Planning and Zoning allows a limited number of mobile homes or other type of housing within zoned areas, non-residential areas, due to the housing shortage in the northwestern North Dakota. If not for the housing shortage, it is doubtful these mobile homes would be located in their current location, and no one would be living in the old farmhouse that has been incorporated into a commercial development.
Mr. Miller, could you please describe the seven businesses found within 500 feet of the proposed route in the areas surrounding them?
Referring to Exhibit 11, a 500-foot buffer was placed over the project's corridor and route. There were five residences and seven commercial businesses identified within the 500-foot buffer. The businesses to the south are bound by U.S. Highway 2. The three businesses to the north are located just off of 141st Avenue Northwest. This area was formerly occupied by a single row of residence, but has been substantial commercial industrial development.
Besides the seven businesses and five residences, does the route pass within 500 feet of any other farmhouse, rural residence, or place of business?
Yes. In the northwest one quarter of Section 22, on Segment A, an RV park is under development. At this time, there are no RVs or other residences on this land, and the only development that has taken place is grading and installation of underground utilities. When residences are located in the park, many could likely fall within 500 feet of the project. Thus, we thought it was prudent to obtain a waiver from the landowner.
Mr. Miller, I hand you this document, which the court reporter has marked as Exhibit 13, and ask you to identify it.
It is a waiver obtained from Western Company of Texas, the owners of the land who are building the future RV park.
Your Honor, I'd move for admission of Exhibit Number 13.
Any objection to 13?
No, Your Honor.
I'll admit 13.
Mr. Miller, Basin Electric has requested that the PSC waive a finding that under the circumstances there is no reasonable alternative to this route as it concerns five residences and seven businesses within 500 feet of the transmission facility proposed. Pursuant to the regulations, the commission in determining whether an avoidance area should be designated for a facility must consider the following. One, the proposed management of adverse impacts. Two, the orderly siting of facilities. Three, system reliability and integrity. Four, the effective use of resources. And five, alternative routes. I am now going to ask you a series of questions relating to these factors. Mr. Miller, please explain why, under these circumstances, there is no reasonable alternative to the route proposed by Basin Electric.
From a historical aspect, Western's Wilson Substation was located in what was a rural setting. With recent load growth associated with the Bakken development, the need to supply additional load serving capacity and provisions for system reliability is required by Basin Electric. Basin Electric has responsibility as a wholesale power provider to the region. Put simply, there is but one corridor route into Western Substation that will facilitate a project of this nature. To illustrate that point, in 2010, Basin Electric completed the Wilson to Tioga 230 kV project that interconnects a substation near Tioga to the Wilson substation. This interconnection enters the Wilson substation on the east side. The commercial industrial development that has occurred since the Wilson to Tioga 230 kV project was completed just 2 years ago severely limits the available pathways into the Wilson substation for purposes of interconnecting transmission facilities to the proposed corridor route.
Mr. Miller, please describe how the route proposed by Basin Electric manages potential adverse impacts.
By locating the corridor route immediately alongside Western's 120-foot utility easement, the project places the most distance possible between the commercial property and residences, therefore minimizing impacts to the public. Further, as described in Table 2.3-1 of the application, the project is anticipated to provide minimal or no adverse impacts.
Please describe how this route represents the orderly siting of transmission facilities.
The route incorporates the input from the members of the public and the landowners. As mentioned previously, one landowner represents approximately 79% of the lands crossed by the project outside of the Wilson substation. That landowner stated he would only give us an easement for the proposed route.
Please explain how this route results in the efficient use of resources.
The route does not impact family farm or ranches and does not change or alter the current land use. The project only removes 0.024 acres from current land use.
Please explain the alternatives analyzed and rejected.
As discussed earlier, Western, Montreal Williams, and Basin Electric formally analyzed the proposed route and alternatives A and B within the NEPA context. Routes A and B were rejected as having more avoidance area criteria present and adverse impact to animal life and unwillingness from landowners. The two routes did not offer substantive environmental and or economic benefits that would warrant further investigation.
Mr. Miller, is the route proposed by Basin Electric based solely on economic considerations?
No.
How does the preferred corridor and route demonstrate that significant adverse effects, if any, upon agriculture will be kept to an acceptable minimum? Please address this issue in terms of farmsteads, cropland, and interference with irrigation.
The highest density of residences and businesses are located in and around the west side of Western's Wilson substation, which is located in the extreme eastern portion of the proposed corridor. Rural residences and buildings have been avoided to the extent practicable during the detailed routing process. The corridor does cross lands that have been recently rezoned from agricultural to a recreational vehicle park. Agricultural and livestock production currently dominates land use within the proposed corridor. Overall, the proposed corridor includes 56.1 acres of land, of which 87% is classified as agricultural. Segment A is 92.5% grassland. Segment B is 73% cropland and 11.9% grassland. Segment C consists of 0% agricultural land. It is apparent that the lands near the project are subjected to rapid zoning changes from agricultural to commercial industrial uses supporting the regional oil activity. No irrigated lands have been identified within the proposed corridor.
Mr. Miller, is there any anticipated impact on the surface drainage patterns or groundwater flow patterns if the line were to be routed through the proposed corridor?
Drainages within the proposed corridor are largely intermittent or ephemeral. No impacts are anticipated to occur to either surface or groundwater flow patterns.
Do you anticipate any significant adverse effect on noise-sensitive land uses resulting from the location, construction, and maintenance of the proposed facility?
No significant adverse effect is anticipated. Sensitive noise receptors within the area include residents living in residences and those anticipated to live in the developed areas, such as the RV park and work and live in the commercial industrial zoned areas. There would be a short-term increase in noise during construction of the transmission line.
Will the facility have any visual impacts to the adjacent areas?
Visual resources within the proposed corridor and route largely consist of broad expanses of cultivated fields, rangeland, grasslands to the central and western portions, and commercial industrial uses in the eastern area. Because of the gently rolling terrain in the proposed corridor, the transmission structures will be visible in the general proximity. However, due to the commercial nature of the current land use, the visual impact will be limited.
Do you anticipate any significant impacts on areas of extractive or storage resources?
No. Oil and gas development is ongoing in northwest North Dakota. However, no known oil well permits have been issued for areas within the corridor or rock. The area is also served by the local rural water district to meet the local potable water needs. No known water well exploration is occurring within the corridor or route.
Do you anticipate any significant impacts on wetlands, woodlands, or wooded areas?
There are wetlands that are localized areas within the proposed corridor and route. The corridor and route spans approximately 0.18 acres of wetlands. There are no woodlands or wooded areas, including shelter belts, within the corridor or route. No impacts to wetlands are anticipated.
Do you expect any significant adverse effect on human and animal health and plant or human, animal health and safety, or plant life?
No.
Mr. Miller, earlier you testified that no exclusion areas existed in the route and corridor in the form of archaeological resources. Were there any cultural sites found in the proposed route and corridor?
Yes. Two cultural sites were identified during the Class 3 inventory. These areas will be identified and flagged accordingly so they are not disturbed during construction. The field survey results were submitted to the North Dakota State Historical Preservation Office, and they approved the project as proposed. Therefore, no impacts to cultural resources are anticipated for the project.
Mr. Miller, will it be possible to route in the preferred corridor and route so as to not violate any city or county zoning ordinance?
Yes. Williams County has zoning ordinances applicable to this transmission line project. The Williams County Planning and Zoning unanimously recommended approval for this project to the Williams County Commission. At the Planning and Zoning meeting, there were no objections to the project from the public. The Williams County Commission is expected to approve this project at their April 10th, which is today, 2012, Commission meeting. As part of this process, all landowners within 1 mile of the project were notified.
Mr. Miller, if the Public Service Commission does not approve the proposed route, what alternatives does Basin Electric have?
If the PSC did not approve the route, Montreal Williams would begin construction on their 115 portion of the line. Assuming they had Western's FONSI on their EA as a PSC permit, would not be required for their 115 kV line. Montreal Williams are under obligations to supply the load to One Oaks Gas Processing Plant, which necessitates the construction of the 115 kV line in 2012. Basin Electric would still need a transmission line connecting the Judson substation to the Wilson substation. If the PSC didn't approve the route, we would be forced to move forward with three or four 115 kV transmission lines adjacent to the Montreal Williams 115 line in order to provide the same transmission capacity of a single 230 kV transmission line. Basin Electric's 115 kV line would not require PSC approval and thus not run afoul of the 500-foot avoidance criteria. If that were the case, we would likely have to condemn to obtain easements for each of the three project segments, as landowners have indicated they are not in favor of having multiple lines adjacent to one another. Also, since there is limited space in this area, space would probably not permit three or to four 115 kV lines in this area. Further, Basin Electric's building a 115 kV-based tide project as opposed to a 230 kV tide project would not be advantageous to the reliability and stability of the power supply in this area, which is already constrained. Additionally, the 115 kV-based tide project would provide a larger physical footprint, increased project costs, and would not reflect the input of the landowners in the immediate area.
Does this conclude your direct testimony?
Yes.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. Mr. Grubman, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll just start with the easy one first. Of segments A, B, and C, was there an inventory done of the tree and shrub within those areas?
HDR was ours and Montreal Williams consultant. HDR did do the field biological surveys, and no trees and shrubs were identified.
Okay. If there were a situation whereby there were tree and shrubs identified, Exhibit one is the order of certificate provisions concerning tree and shrub mitigation. Would your company be against clearing all tree and shrubs and those various protocols if there were something found within the entire right-of-way?
We would not object to that protocol.
Okay. I'd like you to just explain further your company's efforts towards obtaining a waiver from Patterson concerning the avoidance area.
It is my understanding that there were several contacts made with Patterson over the last year or two. Patterson being a local presence, but they are part of a larger organization of multiple subsidiaries. They're based out of Houston, Texas, is their corporate office. Several discussions were made, and as Mr. Christensen testified, the last contacts for their own reasons, they believe this waiver of the Siting Act somehow puts liability on their part as far as their employees providing that residence.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, that was their objection. And
so, just so I understand you correctly, their objection is entirely from the standpoint of this potentially could subject us to further liability, and therefore there's just no chance we're ever going to sign this waiver.
I think it's just that the waiver itself accepts a corporation giving a waiver, even though perhaps it's a misunderstanding of what the waiver means.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a waiver of indemnity of anything that could be negatively associated with a transmission line. It's more of a waiver of the Siting Act.
Mm-hmm. Well, from our end, you understand the legislature has indicated that unless there's a reasonable, there can't be any reasonable alternative concerning this type of situation. Now, liability, I guess, as a lawyer, two objective people speaking to one another, it's risk, i.e. money. So is there a money standpoint to this as far as them asking for more money to offset, I guess, their liability concerns?
To my knowledge, there has been no discussion of money.
Okay.
Since the state requests the waiver.
Would you agree then? Because I don't want to put words. Oh,
no,
please.
Just to add, they have indicated it's not about money.
Okay. One moment, please. Well, I believe Mr. Merle was going to ask you some questions concerning route, so I don't want to conflict with that. I can proceed. Well, I think obviously you submitted a good portion of testimony and evidence concerning why B has to be where B needs to be and C and et cetera, but perhaps maybe just for the purposes of the record, if you wouldn't mind approaching, or I guess if you want to just from there too, just to kind of explain from the map why you can't, go further south or further north, looped around. Maybe just summarize it for us. I think that'd be great.
Certainly, I believe this is exhibit
9.
This map might be better.
Okay. No, it's not 9. Which exhibit is that?
It wasn't Gary's testimony.
It's number 7.
Seven, yeah, okay.
There's a pointer.
Please proceed.
Okay. Thank you. As here is the location of the quote farmhouse, and then as this area has been developed, you can see all the substantial lots being done.
I can't see that. So are you now pointing to the Patterson Services one?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. So to cross this commercial industrial area is very tight. As I'm pointing to the Western Wilson substation, here's our base electrics line that we just built 2 years ago, and I'll see all this current development. This photograph actually was taken from Google in the fall of 2011. I believe if you go out there today, it's actually substantially different as well. lot of development is occurring very rapid. On the bottom of the photograph is U.S. Highway 2. And that's where these businesses are owned by. Mr. Christensen testified that that route coming up from the south precluded any routing through that area. On the south side of a U.S. Highway 2 is the North Dakota State University Ag Research Center. They value their lands and their the cropped area as well. That also precluded us from going in that direction.
Please continue.
Is there another specific area you would like to?
Well, so I think you pretty well defined the south. Could you go into a little bit further about why you couldn't do a north and then an east loop around to tie into western? Something more
like this. Figure 2 is exhibit
11.
That's what we're referring to here now. Yes, as we, the beginning of segment A, that's the departure point where our 345 segment would head to the north and eventually head west towards Wilson. The point of departure here is the 115 line heading to the One Oak Gas Processing Plant. There is residential areas right up through here. So there, again, that precluded setting a transmission line. Once we got down to the Judson substation, perhaps you could ask why we didn't go straight east. And here's this commercial development area. Mm-hmm. Again, this photograph was, I believe the date on this, like 2009. But if you go out there today, there's dramatic commercial development on the north half of Section 24.
Okay, well, you know, I'll just ask this straight up, because obviously I need to look at this from the most pessimistic standpoint due to this standard of no reasonable alternative. Now, it's my understanding that in Segment B, and for that matter, well, Segment B, a good portion of the why you put it where it is due to the landowner, that's where he wants it, correct?
Correct.
To get around that alternatively, you would be able to proceed with condemnation proceedings, correct, to alternatively figure out a different route if you so needed to do. Would that be correct?
Condemnation has always been an option. This landowner, you know, is a large landowner, correct? So he owns these three sections. He owns other lands in the area.
Uh-huh.
Which sections does he own?
He owns Section 15, 23, and 24.
So he doesn't own 14 and 13?
I believe he owns some land in 14 as well.
Some 14.
What's his son, the landowner's name, Chance? I don't know if I've...
Mr. Abe Owens.
Owens. I guess, you know, what I'm kind of getting at is that our rules indicate that economic considerations are not dispositive. However, they can be taken into account. If you could explain to me, I'm assuming that your company did an analysis whereby there's time constraints as far as when we need to be building this line in relation to, well, if we had to go through condemnation proceedings, how that would stall the process. If you could just go into that, those kind of considerations.
If I can recap Mr. Christensen's testimony and Mr. Haugen's testimony as well, Montreal Williams has a contractual obligation to deliver power to that state land project. That obligation is required to be constructed and operational here by the fall of 2012. Montreal Williams was far along in their easement and routing process, and they had already initiated that NEPA action as well. When Basin Electric became aware of our larger 345 project. So as Mr. Christensen said, that's where we joined, and we quickly identified the need to minimize the impact on land use, land resources, environmental, cultural, all those setting criteria. It would be best if we could co-locate. And since there was a route, an agreeable landowner, very minimal environmental impact with the proposed route, with the exception of that congested area to the east end. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have our discussion here now on the avoidance area. It's just, we're in an unfortunate area where the western Wilson Substation, perhaps. It's about 56-year-old facility, and it was built in a rural area, and land use has changed over time, and it's really changed in the last 3 to 4 years.
Clearly, you're a gentleman of many years of experience. I guess one question that I have is, have you ever, in your experience, ran into a situation where you had to go through condemnation proceedings to acquire a corridor and a route?
I personally have not.
Okay. Well, the last thing I wanted...
Well, has your company, though?
Yeah, so we have.
Since I guess the rule of evidence isn't too significant here, I'll just ask through hearsay. I don't want you to speculate, but just out of curiosity, I mean, if you did have to go through condemnation proceedings to acquire a different routing corridor to this WAPA substation there, how long would you speculate something like that would take? I don't want you to speculate.
It's my understanding that it would be at least a year, could be up to a year process.
Okay. Just one moment, Your Honor.
And since you're speculating, I also believe that the court systems up here in Williams County is rather backlogged as well, so perhaps it could be longer.
Chris, you have anything else you want to ask yourself? I'll defer for now.
Sure.
If we go back to Exhibit 7, that purple line that moves north and south, I believe it's an MDU line. Can you describe what that is?
Which one's 7? Oh, okay. Certainly. That's MDU lines that runs to... I believe it just runs north and it heads east. I'm not all that familiar with MDU's Crestman line, but that line was there considerable years ago. Existing facility.
Okay.
As you see in the exhibit, there's actually Westrooms has two substations, one to the south in section 19. Mm-hmm. That was the original substation. Montreal Williams is a small substation in between, and then the Western, this is a recent expansion of Western substation. Even though it's recent, but then the land use, again, has been dramatically changed around that.
Sure. I guess I'm just wondering how far north that goes, and then we have this zoom in of segment C, so I have really no idea what's sitting there. And then are these landowners, these homeowners in the northwest section of section 14, are they opposed to a transmission line?
Montreal Williams, as we testified, has received unanimous approval of the conditional use for the 115 line. And today, the Williams County Commission is discussing that item as well. Perhaps they have approval, but through that process, all landlords within 1 mile of the 115 line were notified, and no objections were received in the planning and zoning.
So based on that, those landowners aren't necessarily opposed to transmission lines.
I would agree.
Can I just follow up on something?
Sure.
Is it my understanding that Montreal Williams is going to build their 115 all the way from Western Wilson Substation up to the Montreal Williams State Line Substation regardless? That's so that correct. Line's going to go through there regardless, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Just a moment.
Has Montreal Williams looked at that alternative of going east and west along 52nd Street and then north and south along 141st Street Avenue?
Montreal Williams did that original routing and considerations and the alternatives for the development of the EA. Mm-hmm. So going across 52nd Street would be very complicated with the, as you see, the residences up there as well.
Sure.
So their, I believe it's route alternative B, actually went 6 miles north before it headed west.
Do we have a map of this that doesn't have this segment C detail over the line?
Perhaps we look in the application, but for the testimony we brought here today, no.
Okay. Actually, Exhibit 8 looks like. Let me ask you this. Is entering the substation from the north technically feasible?
From my understanding, from the engineers and our right-of-way lands group, it is not. It's very complicated there as well. One thing I would caution in using, like figure 4.1, this photograph, the background was based from the NRECS available aerial. So I believe this is at least three, if not 4 years old.
Okay.
So the photograph that we used, and I believe that's Exhibit 11, that was pulled up from fall of 2011. So what this photograph, it shows that there's a lot of opportunities for routing a transmission line, but a drive out there and our a real recent photo, but sure, just how complicated line routing would be.
Do you have anything further, Your Honor?
I was wondering if you do. You look like you might.
I feel like I should, but I can't think of anything.
Mr. Grewitt, anything else right now?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. I don't know, do we need a late filed exhibit on the Williams County Commission that's meeting today?
Sure, I think we can file that. The meeting this morning was at 8 o'clock and we expected approval, and I don't think we've heard yet, but we'd be happy to file that.
I think that might be good for Exhibit 14, late filed on the Williams County approval.
If not, I think that's something that would be covered in the certification as well.
Is it?
I believe.
Well, let's get that.
That's fine. Okay.
Okay. Maybe you covered this already, but looking at, I don't know which one I'll look at, either 7 or 8 or both of them, are there residents coming down from the north there?
Are you referring to figure 4.1, Your Honor?
The Exhibit 8.
Yeah, Exhibit 8, and look at Exhibit 8 and Exhibit 7. What's coming down from the north along that, along 141st Street?
Most of the development along that area is commercial, industrial commercial areas. As you get about a mile and a half north, on this photograph, there are some farmsteads up there, but the large disturbance area is commercial industrial.
Is it common, Mr. Miller, especially considering this environment in the Williston area, where you might build a line and somebody with commercial or whatever rural area would put RVs or mobile homes as close to the line as they can possibly get without getting in the right of way?
Our easements that we acquire only restrict the land use development underneath the right-of-way.
Exactly.
What the adjoining property owners do to their lands, we have no control.
So there might be someone within 500 feet. So there might be a lot of people within 500 feet after you develop a line.
That's correct.
Considering, I don't want to ask you to speculate either, but it seems like that might be a real possibility with all the rapid development in this area.
One certainly assumes so. I think, you know, like with the land availability of housing in the area. So when we have these commercial industrial complexes getting constructed, you have a lot of the you know, the workforce traveling in RVs, and are the quick setups, the modular homes, the mobile homes, et cetera. I think that you will find that common in Williams County.
So that if assuming we cited this as you propose with five residences and seven commercial, that could easily be 20 residences and however many commercials within a period of time.
That is correct. Even our discussion with Patterson Services, even though they're, you know, they had the former rural residents and the four mobile homes, they've even informed us that perhaps there's going to be additional housing on their commercial property, as long as they're compliant with the local county and township.
One might be able to consider that a de facto waiver if that happened. I mean, never mind, that's not a question. All right, okay. You're spanning a couple of wetlands, right?
That is correct.
Is there any temporary impact to spanning those?
No.
Do you have all the permits that are necessary for that?
For the construction of the 150 in line, their major permit is, on a local basis, is conditional use permit. They're, as we already discussed, is coming forthcoming. And then the federal agency, the finding a no significant impact on the EA, is also expected very shortly. Once that is in place, Montreal Williams would be able to start construction of their 115 line, other than this double circuiting portion, which is under jurisdiction here today. So they will not be able to start the 345 or 230 segments until we, this body, I guess, makes a determination on our state siting.
I think that's all the questions I have. Ms. Jacobson, any further questions, Mr. Miller?
No, Your Honor.
Really? No, Your Honor.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. All right. I think both of our public participants left. But I'll say it one more time just for the record. Is there anyone present who wishes, members of the public not associated with Montreal Williams or Basin Electric, who wishes to present evidence to the commission today, information of any kind? I see no one, so there'll be no public participation in this proceeding today. Ms. Jacobson, you have no other evidence to present then?
I do not.
All right, thank you. All right, let's discuss how we're going to close this then. It's typical for the applicant to file proposed findings of facts, conclusions of law, and order. You may want to file a brief along with that. I'm not going to require that, but at least propose findings of facts, conclusions of law, and order. Can you give me some idea of when you might do that?
Within the next week.
Okay. then, as I said, we're likely to have a work session on this, which will be scheduled. Would you like notification of that?
Yes, we would, please.
Okay. I can't guarantee when that's going to be, but it'll probably be fairly soon, shortly after you file your proposals. And then we'll do that, as I said, and then shortly after that, I'll be issuing recommended decision to the Public Service Commission. You know, of course, you'll get a copy of that. Anything else you want to bring to the attention of the commission before we close this hearing? Did you want to make a closing statement?
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay. Okay. Anything else to bring to our
attention? No, Your Honor.
All right. Okay. It's about 12:20, and we'll close this hearing. Thank you very much.